It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Good evening and welcome back to another therapy session. I think these now need to be called, Callum. That's what I donned the last live episode when Phil stepped into your seat to join me after the game against Pauk. I was going to continue and sit in the room where I normally sit and record the podcast, but the light's fully gone, so I'd be sitting in a darkened room, although Callum feels quite appropriate after the performance we saw yesterday.
I think it would be very appropriate. I sort of felt in a way I was glad I wasn't able to do the Pauk review. Wish I had some sort of excuse to get out of this one. It was, oh God, it was awful on Sunday, wasn't it?
I mean, I think realistically we knew there was going to be a hangover from Thursday, whether that was mentally or physically amongst the players. I certainly think more maybe mentally for the fans as well, but I think those, I think was it 800 odd that travelled down to Rugby Park deserved a hell of a lot better than was put on show. An absolute disgraceful performance from all those involved. And me and Phil discussed kind of the changes, and we expected maybe two or three to be made by Barry Robson. Were you surprised to just see Duke come into the starting lineup for Dante Polvara?
A little bit surprised. And then Barry Robson, in hindsight, then saying that he maybe should have rotated a little bit more. You know, we spent all this money on this squad, transfer fees, large wages, and we're not using them, and it doesn't make any sense. And then after every European game, he complains about the players being tired. Even if he says pre-match, I'm not going to use tiredness as an excuse. So, yes, I think there should have been a little bit more changes. I was surprised. Certainly expected Duke to come back into the lineup. I'm not sure if he did, going by some of the points. But I had a little go on people on Twitter for singling out certain individuals. They were all, let it be known, they were all very substandard.
Certain individuals in what sense?
Jamie McGrath came in for a lot of stick on social media, I noticed. Sort of the question being asked, what does he do? However, I was basically thinking, you could ask that about 11 of them out there. Maybe barring Connor Barron and Miofsky. And even then, they were particularly fantastic.
Speaking of Connor Barron as well, I just about fell out with the HR manager from work today when he said that Connor Barron is extremely overrated because his goals are poor, his assists are poor, and his corners barely beat the first man. But you could put certainly the latter down to about every single player just now, and goals and assists isn't Connor Barron's game, but that's where we are just now as a support is arguing over player performances. And it's quite concerning because obviously this podcast will probably have a general negative feel to it. So if this is not for you, turn off now. But the league is still so tight, and probably that's what makes it more frustrating, Callum, because I think the word I used to my colleague today was we're pissing points up the wall just now with these performances.
I think that's a pretty fair assessment. I was very vocal on the podcast about the fact that October would be a great month for us. You know, a chance for two big European games at home, a chance to climb up the table. Obviously, the Dundee game was postponed. But we've absolutely pissed that up the wall. When you consider who sort of Hearts and Hibs have played this month, their sort of point accumulation as well. It was a good chance for us to at least gain ground on them, perhaps even go above them, even if we weren't going to catch St Mirren, who are still surprising me anyway. But just very, very frustrating, not to sound too much like Barry Robson, that we're still playing in a certain style that doesn't suit, it would seem, despite the fact that was the only sort of formation we seem to have recruited for with no plan B. And I don't know sort of where we go from here. It's quite somber, really, that sort of statement. But I'm just really glad I've signed up to go to Motherwell on Wednesday after that.
Yeah, and it was kind of, you know, watching the game yesterday as well kind of threw me back to the chat that we had with Laurie Finlayson, and given the insight into Killie and the kind of direct play that both Matty Kennedy and Danny Armstrong offered in that Kilmarnock team. And that was very evident yesterday, and really did have me thinking, if only we had a couple of decent wingers in this side, what could be. And as Callum Walker says, and I'm surprised you haven't picked that one up, free little muscle boy. But Ryan Duncan as well, obviously we'll kind of come on to that a little bit later and kind of where he was supposed to be playing yesterday. But kind of on the point about, you know, like pissing points up the wall just now, I'm not saying that we've got a divine right to be going into these games and winning and getting the 3 points, although you may think so given how easy October was going to be for us, or favourable, I should say. But certainly, Callum, I don't expect us to have that divine right to win games. I expect an Aberdeen team to go in and put a bit of pride about themselves and perform to a standard way above than what we saw yesterday at Rugby Park, because that is not a performance fitting of the Aberdeen shirt. And, you know, fatigue or not, I think a few of them need to take a long, hard look at themselves. And I'm really hoping that Barry Robson does as well. And I'm glad to an extent as well that Robson took a large portion of the blame in his post-match comments.
I think that's sort of a difference between Robson and Goodwin, maybe slightly, in terms of taking the blame and things like that. But I do, I tend to agree about sort of the application and things like that. In fact, I find myself agreeing with Chris Boyd on commentary. That's the first surprise. The second one's that I didn't actually know him throughout the game. where you're saying, you know, you can understand after Thursday, but the least they can do is apply themselves, essentially. And that's not verbatim. But we didn't see that. And, you know, the midfield watching the ball going flying over their head for the most part, long balls up to Dukan Mijovski that either goes over their head or for them to chase down the channel aimlessly against a pretty well-organised Kilmarnock side, and you'd expect no less really from a Dent McInnes side.
Totally.
It's so poor. It's unbelievably poor. And it's sort of, I don't know that it's too early to suggest this kind of thing, because we've been on a bit of a bad patch for a while now, I guess. Sort of after the Pauk game and then a performance result like that, sort of feels similar to, you know, the killer blow we got when we lost to Celtic at Pittodrie, that 1-0 late goal.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope it's not the same like that and it's a really, really bad downward spiral. Although, you know, we've now played 4 games without winning already.
Yeah, you know, there's some kind of quite grim stats that, you know, was going along, and I was like you. I felt myself feeling quite disgusted at how often I was agreeing with some of Chris Boyd's comments on Aberdeen during the game yesterday as well. But the stat obviously that came up after we found ourselves 1-0 down, that's 19 games since we came back from losing to Hibs to win that game 3-1, I think they said. 19 straight games when we've conceded the first goal that we failed to win the match. A problem that I think we commented on last season as well. And I saw someone on Twitter today, I can't remember who it was, but put up the point as well that in our 9 league games so far this season, 5 of those we failed to score in. You know, yesterday, I didn't understand the shape of the team nor the identity of that team either. And again, a point that Stephen Anderson kind of tweeted us, and I think worth a discussion, Callum, was he said, we actually might do better against the better teams since he's found a formation for those games. Unfortunately, the games we should control, he has no idea whatsoever. And I know Johnny Main's watching and commenting along, like a lot of you are on this live episode. I don't think I've seen the live chat kind of go as crazy since a defeat back in January. And I think you all know what one we're referring to then. He doesn't kind of have that experience. And I think Johnny's comments yesterday on his socials was about, this job is not an apprenticeship. It's not for an inexperienced manager. But unfortunately, Robson just now is showing all too often sometimes those inexperiences.
Absolutely. I suppose all we can hope is that he will learn for them. It's just unfortunate that it's in this sort of situation at Aberdeen. But at the same time, if we go back to the successful period that Robson had, it was impossible to not give him the job as well.
Exactly, yeah.
In terms of the sort of inexperience, that's when you would hope someone like Steve Agnew would then be able to sort of guide him a little bit. However, it is sort of reminiscent, now forgive me, this is about the time when he was assistant to Steve Bruce, and a lot of the players that Newcastle United had were similar, are still at Newcastle and are still putting in good shifts to this day, likes of Shar, Lascelles, Longstaff, whoever. And it was like there was no belief in them. And we set up, well, Newcastle set up in such a defensive manner, and there was no sort of identity or style of play. It is sort of reminiscent of that, which is a worry, because in times like this, you'd hope that Steve Agnew's experience would be able to shine through and benefit Robson. I don't know. It's obviously just speculation, but it is worrying that that is maybe a bit of a pattern.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is that kind of lack of control. And I know you bang the drum regularly about the fact that the three at the back is continuing not to work in games like this, or probably shouldn't be utilised in games like this. And I'll allow you to answer that, but kind of on the point as well about the squad rotation and Barry Robson's comments about not using tiredness as an excuse in his pre-match comments. You already mentioned it, but Bob Duff comments, Chris Crichton put in the P&J today. Five new players haven't even started a game this season for Aberdeen. Three of those have seen 0 minutes, certainly in competitive first team action, because I'm wondering if three of those was Reese Williams. Well, two of them would have been Reese Williams and Ordadia. And Angus McDonald's played just one game. Bob's kind of follow up to that is Barry 100% in charge of recruitment? But when we've got that depth to an extent, why are we not seeing more options being used?
Very, very frustrating. If I mentioned it on Twitter when they were posting about that lovely new jersey you're currently modelling, the fact they had some in stock, are they going to use their new revenue on another striker to sit on the bench? Esther Sokler, I thought, came on and at least had a little bit of hunger, a little bit of desire. You know, after that goal against Ross County, that would have been the ideal chance to give him his shot. You know, confidence really high. He's grabbed his first goal. He's not started a game. Absolute madness. And there's Papi Habib Gaye, who we aren't even seeing off the bench these days either. And we've spunked how much on the pair of them? Very, very bizarre. Two defenders we've brought in, we've not even seen. They're not even making the bench for league games. It's really, really odd. And it sort of does point towards, as Bob mentioned there, about the recruitment. And then it's Stephen Gunn, again, is getting flack. And the sort of mess we had with Darren Mowbray leaving, and then it was a while before his successor came in. It's a bit of a shambles. At times, we look really well run as a club. And times, you just wonder what the hell's going on. And it's sort of similar as to what's going on in Edinburgh with Hearts as well. In terms of their experienced manager, their director of football, or whatever his title is, comes in for a lot of flack as well a lot of the time, and is probably doing it right now. But I can't fathom it. And we're sort of maybe doing the same as what they were doing, where they had the chance to make third their own and continuously finish there with the money, with the ability to attract players for European football, and squandered it. And then you worry, are we going to do the same? Because right now it's not looking fantastic. We're going into a game against Motherwell. We've not won in four. They've not won in five either. It's not going to be a classic, but it's worrying that we've not won in four. And if we're going to progress in Europe, we would have needed to have one of those in those two home games.
It's not going to be a classic, but they're certainly going to be a team coming into the game in confidence. Obviously, we're going to be coming on to that Motherwell game a little bit later. I'm kind of aware we've hardly even touched on the game on Sunday, but let's be honest, there's really not much to talk about from an Aberdeen point of view yesterday. But if we do try and speak about some of that first half showing, showing wasn't really what Aberdeen did. It was Kilmarnock, because it was one-way traffic, to be fair. And I've got no arguments around Kilmarnock taking the lead at going into half time. We'll come on to the goal in a second, but it was our approach to that first half, Callum, that really frustrated me. He brings Duke in and we insist on playing long balls over the top, which on that surface is just an absolutely horrendous shout because the bounce is unpredictable or the ball skids away. You're also asking Duke to chase, or Miovski as well, to chase balls. That's not Miovski's style. It is Duke's style, but I think the person on Twitter is at Vitamin T and does a lot of analysis, just showed how kind of far apart both Duke and Miovski were throughout that game. They weren't kind of close together, and they were maybe too far ahead of the midfield, that nothing was working. But my concern from Robson's comments after the game was he didn't feel we could play through Kilmarnock, so that we were only able to play over Kilmarnock. But playing over Kilmarnock suits that Kilmarnock defence down to a T. Why did we not kind of look to change up? We've got players that can use the ball well, but he reverted to the comment about the pitch not suiting a passing style. I think that's a load of nonsense, to be honest, and is just a cheap excuse to kind of use the pitch. And as Johnny says, you know, style of play wasn't an issue last season when we were winning under Robson, but now it's becoming a problem. And I totally agree, the football this season by and large has been absolutely eye bleeding. And Johnny says play hoofball and win, he can accept, play it and lose, nah. And I just wonder as well, Callum, you know, on top of the style, did that win at Ibrox a few weeks ago paper over a lot of cracks in this team at the moment?
Seems to have had. Not that I'm complaining about the fact we want an Ibrox, yeah. Obviously. But again, it sort of adds the emphasis to the point that he's found a formation in games like that, like Frankfurt, like Pauk at home to an extent, where, you know, we're clearly up against a side with better quality than us, and we found a way to play against them, and we know it can get results. That absolutely credit to them for that. They've worked it out. Perfect. But in more often than not, we're going to be playing games where, you know, we're Aberdeen, we should be going and playing football. We should be, you know, more often than not coming out with, well, at least a point. At this point, I take a point in a game like Kilmarnock away. And I just don't know if it's starting to show now that we are really struggling with that in those kind of games. I mean, last season, we weren't playing excellent football. We weren't playing attractive stuff, whatever. But we were getting results, and I sort of attributed it to, like, it's not Robson's squad. He's getting the best out of the tools he has. Mm-hmm. Now, however, however much has been spent, I'm going to imagine it's the most out with Celtic and Rangers, and we're not any further on. We're not any further on, despite the fact there is guys in that team who can play football and can play it well. We've seen it at times.
Yeah.
You know, on the flip side, then Kilmarnock, we go there. They have a clear game plan. Their game plan was to get it out wide to Armstrong and Kennedy, run at the fullback, cause problems, get the ball over when they can. We had no width. And if we can't play through the Kilmarnock midfield, why are we then changing to a diamond and going even more narrow? Don't try and beat them in the midfield if you can't play through them. Play with width. Get at them. And we're so keen to hoy the ball into the box from a throw-in, when we won't even work the ball out wide to put in a decent cross, and the throw-ins aren't working. It's absolute madness. And Ryan Duncan coming on, who is a winger, I don't know what he came on to do. I don't know what his instruction was. He started off on the right, he then went left, sort of to a left wing-back kind of role.
He played centre-mid for the last 10 minutes.
I feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for him because he comes in for a lot of flack, but he's not played, and I don't know if he's played in his natural position once for Aberdeen.
But I said this as well at the end of last season as well, when a lot of people were maybe saying I was being critical of Ryan Duncan. But again, under Robson, he was being played out of position. Another thing, you mentioned the throw-ins. Fuck me, stop doing long throw-ins. And I saw a few people that were at the game said there was ironic cheers from the away end when we actually took a short throw-in. And I mean, if that doesn't tell you the sorry state that we're in right now domestically, I don't know what is. I think the first time the long throw worked yesterday was in the 90th minute when Rubizic flicked it into the keeper's hands. Why are we persisting with it? Every single time a Kilmarnock player got their head on it, but no, let's keep trying. And another thing that really ground my gears in that first half, and Paul Donaldson picked up on it, as I said, there's a lot of comments been coming in, so we're maybe going back to comments that have been coming in a while ago. He speaks on Kelrose's distribution, and fuck me, Kel, it was awful yesterday. Don't know if he's been distracted by the news of his, you know, congratulations to him, he's going to have a second kid, and I don't know if that's sleepless nights incoming or playing on his mind, but, you know, he said the kickouts are awful and everyone can see it, so why at every kickoff, after both goals and at the start of the second half, and I noticed we definitely did this against Pauk as well, did we play it directly back to him from the centre spot for him to hoof it up long? And just some of the distribution from Hand as well went out for a throw-in, and one or two times came well short of Miovski. I think there was one time Miovski just put his hands up to think, the fuck is that? Like, what are we supposed to do with that? It was just giving Kilmarnock cheap possession back.
Absolutely. I mean, I do really feel sorry for Miovski. He's sort of carried this team on his back at times this season, and he's really seems to have kicked on from last season. Duke, unfortunately, now has gone the other way, but at the same time, it is. I do find it hard to be critical of any of the forwards when the service they're getting is not even bad. It's non-existent for the most part. It really doesn't make any sense to me. And if Kilmarnock, you know, I've set up with Armstrong as Kent and Kennedy, who are technically their wing backs. For me, they felt more just like right and left midfielders. But on the flip side, we've got Jack McKenzie and Nicky Devlin, who can barely get into the opposition's half to provide that width, and no one ahead of them because we don't have any wingers. It just doesn't make any sense to me. None of this is making sense to me, and it has to change. Do I expect it to, though?
No.
No. Because even in games where it's not been working and it's evident it's not been working, we've not tried to change things or divert too far. You know, we went to the diamond. It's still narrow. It's still very limiting. I can't see it changing anytime soon. And we've recruited specifically for this sort of five at the back. And it's just abysmal. And it's just really starting to annoy me with the amount we've spunked on wages and transfer fees for guys that aren't even getting on the bench or not coming off the bench. What's the point?
And it just annoys me as well when you hear all the talk as well about, you know, going back to the summer, and look, I do think, you know, Alan Burrows and Dave Cormack communicate well with the fans, unless at times like this when things are going terribly wrong, then it's radio silence. I mean, you know, they can't win. Look, I'll admit that. But, you know, they said we're going to recruit, so we got a big squad because we know we need that going into Europe and we need to utilise the squad. We've hardly seen more than three changes going from a European game into a game on a Sunday. We've pretty much cost ourselves that game yesterday by making the one change. I also didn't understand why, you know, Robson said, you know, we looked at the data from how far the players had run against Pauk, and that was part of the decision to pretty much stick with the team that played against Pauk. That's madness. Get this data idea to fuck. Get this football philosophy to fuck as well. Well, if we do have some sort of football philosophy, I know Johnny wanted it in the fire, but I'm pretty sure Robson's already burnt it because we're not meeting this exciting, attacking football philosophy that the club want, and let alone getting on this top 100 shite that we want to be as well.
Yeah, that I can't see that happening anytime soon, if I'm honest. Oh, what a state we've worked ourselves up into, Glenn, already in 23 minutes.
And Callum, we've got another two huge games coming up as well. Imagine what it's going to be like if we fail to beat Motherwell and, God forbid, lose on Saturday in that semi-final. It is, and look, you know, I remember Jim Goodwin's comments about Aberdeen being an emotional city, and I think it's fair to say emotions are running high. But as I go back to the point I made kind of at the start of the episode, it's down to the fact that there was no kind of passion, no effort from those players yesterday. What certainly came across, and not being able to kind of see that in those games. And there was a point that I was going to kind of come on to about the games that we'd had, is Johnny says, is the apparent cluelessness when it comes to playing teams we should be beating. It's unacceptable to be coming out of games against St Johnstone and Killie with 1 point. Obviously, we had the Dundee game postponed in there, and so that could have gone one way or another. But I totally agree. To just take 1 point from games against bottom of the league St. Johnstone, who've now gone and sacked their manager, and away to Kilmarnock. Also on top of that, Callum, we didn't score in either of those games as well. We've got far too much quality in our team to not be scoring in those games.
It's absolute madness, isn't it? And it might sound like we're looking down on the likes of St. Johnstone and Killy. I want to give them both credit because they both have sort of an identity. Okay, St. Johnstone is keep organised, make it very difficult and cling on to anything you can get. They did that at Pataudry. Fair play. Kilmarnock, they had an identity. They knew how they were going to get a result out of this game or how they could get a result out of the game, and they executed it perfectly. We are not seeing any of that. I don't know what the plan is. And I absolutely agree with Johnny. I mean, 1 point out of those two games, a month that I was so excited about as well. And we're in arguably a worse position. I mean, Hibs are looking better as well, which coming into Saturday is not a good thing. But the fact we've even got to negotiate Motherwell away first, who are obviously going to be a little bit higher on confidence than us after a spirited comeback against Ross County. I'm very worried, Glenn. I'm very worried. And I sort of mentioned it right after the game. I thought, I don't even know what would be the ideal scenario here. Like, wait until we potentially get beat or in those two games. We're further behind in the league. We're out of the cup semi, out of the cup, and then go let him go. Or then do we, or just hope that he manages to turn it around? Or that do we let him go and then go into a semi final without a manager? It's a shambles, Glenn. It's an absolute shambles. But I do hope it works out. But things need to change.
Things need to change, and he needs to realise that he can change the formation as well. And obviously there's a lot of talk around the manager as well, and I'm going to put it on record here. I don't want McInnes back. Let's end that chat of wanting him back as well.
Yeah, I'll happily end that as well. There was a reason he went. However, it is incredibly ironic what happened on Sunday, I suppose. It's objectively, if you take yourself out of the scenario, a little bit funny.
All right, Robert Borthwick. On the game on Sunday as well, the first goal came in, well, I saw Sky Sports try and brand it controversial circumstances given VAR's involvement in the goal. A lot of people seemed adamant it was a foul. For me, nothing really in it. You could argue Jack McKenzie should be going up for the header instead of waiting for the ball to come down. Danny Armstrong, for me, like Jack, has his eyes on the ball. I don't really think there's much contact between them. And then you've actually got to hand it to Kyle Vassell, because not only does he slip, he still manages to get up and compose himself and finish beautifully into the kind of near post. Initially, I thought Kel could have... I was more annoyed that he got beat at his near post, but you can't take anything away from the finish because there was a lot of power. And how instinctive it was, it probably left Kel stranded, to be honest. But foul for you in the build-up to the goal?
On first viewing, I was like, how? That's getting disallowed, surely. And then I saw the replay and it somehow comes off Danny Armstrong's arse. And I thought, yeah, that's typical. Not a foul for me. And the fact that it doesn't matter whether you think of a foul or not, it's never going to get disallowed because Armstrong did play the ball. And credit to Kyle Vassell. He's been pretty good recently in the times I've seen him, and that continued on Sunday as well as his strike partner, which we will come on to in a bit.
Yeah, unfortunately. I noticed the Killy View podcast were commenting on the fact that at halftime we took off Jack McKenzie because they felt that Jack was containing Danny Armstrong very well. Were you surprised to see Jack McKenzie come off as well?
A little bit, yeah, and you know, typical after I'd given him some credit on X or to Twitter, if you're an old daughter, old fashioned like me. I thought he was containing Armstrong very well. As I mentioned, it was sort of clear Kelly's game plan was to get the ball out the way up wide to the two midfielders, wing backs, whatever, run at the fullback and get the ball over. And on several occasions, I thought McKenzie, when a one on one, dealt with Armstrong very well. Okay, he didn't offer as much that much going the other way. But I thought he was doing particularly well. And then to move Jensen out from centre back out to that side, and just a bit incoherent, I kind of thought. And it was just a frustrating move. And once again, another substitution that has not paid off for Robson.
Yeah, it didn't pay off. And unfortunately, really, I put in the kind of structure for this episode, which has really kind of gone all to pot. The second half was a total non-event from an Aberdeen point of view, and there's really kind of nothing to speak about from an Aberdeen point of view, because it took us to the 82nd minute to get a shot on target. And there was no, again, composure in that team, no one looking to get their foot on the ball and try and dictate how we played or look to get ourselves back into the game. And David McLennan, who swings from one way to another about having belief in this team to not, saying there's something fundamentally wrong with the midfield setup because we're not creating chances. And again, probably a fair point, Callum.
Don't we all swing? I mean, if we win on Wednesday, we'll be fine. Everything will be great again. But I do agree. I don't think Robson's really worked out the balance. I don't know if he ever will, because we are missing someone who can just sit and break up the play and also provide a little bit of energy. That could be Graham Shinney. However, we've not replaced Yilmaz Ramadani ultimately. And sorry to hop back to the Pout game. Someone like him to bring on in that midfield rather than Johnny Hayes would have been perfect. I just don't know. I don't know what the answer is in terms of that balance in the midfield, but we're not working it out. Leighton Clarkson's not starting after being brilliant last season, which is an odd one to say the least, the way his season's gone so far. Conor Barron's performing well, but then who goes alongside him? Graham Shinney struggled on Sunday, maybe tired, picked up a yellow card. Paul Vara came on, didn't really affect the game. Jamie McGrath didn't really affect the game at all. I don't know what the balance is. And to be honest, with all the creative emphasis being on them in the middle of the park, because our wing-backs struggle to get high and we don't have any width, when that's not clicking, it's so unbelievably evident, it's unreal.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, in Leighton Clarkson, a player that was so creative for us last season, is not seeing as many minutes. I wonder if there's something going on behind the scenes as well. There's obviously a lot of rumours doing the roundabouts, the fact that, you know, he's currently, well, and maybe Reece Williams is staying with him rather than Leighton Clarkson staying with Reece Williams. And I know there's been a lot of kind of documented stuff about Reece Williams' poor attitude since his time coming up up to Aberdeen. And I wonder just how much that's potentially affecting Leighton Clarkson as well. And I mean, yesterday, I remember looking at the TV two or three times, and he's sitting alongside Rubizic at centre-back picking up the ball. That's not where you want a creative midfielder like Leighton Clarkson picking up the ball. But that's how deep he's having to drop to get the ball, to only then hoof the ball aimlessly up front.
Yeah, it's not working out for one reason or another. And it is bizarre. It is very odd. Something possibly has changed, because he doesn't look like the same player. And he was probably one of the first, if not the first, names on the team sheet at the back end of last season. And now we can't get ahead of Conor Barron, who didn't have a look in last season and has really struggled with injuries. And there's still all that going on with his contract. Yet Conor Barron looks streets ahead of him at the moment.
If we don't mention him, people will say that we're protecting him because he listens to the show. So what did you make of Duke's performance yesterday?
He really struggled, as he has done a lot so far this season. He looks devoid of confidence. He's certainly devoid of any decent service. But last season, when he wasn't getting that service, we always thought when he was on the ball, there's a chance he could create something out of nothing for himself. But I don't really have that belief right now. It looks like he is really struggling, whether that is confidence or whatever. I don't know. But once again, it wasn't fantastic from Duke, unfortunately, as much as it does pain me to say it. But I will caveat with that saying everyone was rubbish, so it's fine.
No, I agree. It was a frustrating performance to watch, because, as I said to Phil, that he's not a lone striker. Pumping balls up to him, expecting him to do what Miolski tends to do and, you know, win the ball in the air and maybe control it, that is not Duke style. And unfortunately, playing it in behind was not working. My biggest gripe about his performance yesterday, and I think this is just kind of the way things are going for him just now is he's just trying anything and everything to win a free kick or do something positive for the team. Is his reluctance to stay on his feet was really grating on me at times in the game yesterday, where I felt he would have been better kind of fighting more for the ball rather than just going down as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think fans of other clubs other than Aberdeen would also absolutely agree with you, sort of just throughout the season, maybe even last season too. It is frustrating, though, because we do know what he's capable of. We saw that for most of, if not all, of last season, especially once he did get in the team after his arrival. And you're just desperate for him to get back to that point. However, he looks a far cry from that sort of player at the moment. But I suppose, to keep going back to it, if there was some sort of service for him, then maybe that would perhaps help. Because we're not even creating chances for certainly we didn't on Sunday for either him or Miovski or Sokler, really, when he came on either as well.
Yeah. Paul Donaldson, obviously regular on here on the YouTube channel as well, said last season after 9 games, we were on 13 points, goal difference of +3. This season, we're on 9 points and a goal difference of -2. If anything, we've moved backwards compared to Jim Goodwin. I noticed Gary from the ABZ podcast saying at this stage he would rather watch Stephen Glass's football because I think it was more entertaining. And thoughts with Gary as well, as it looks like Marty Cifuentes is a way to be appointed QPR manager. So another missed opportunity for that. And it'll be interesting because I know both maybe some of our fans and Hibs fans were touting his name. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on at a basket case club like QPR. But is there regression since Jungle Jim left us?
Also, actually, on Cifuentes, however, first, Push Your Hearts interviewed him or spoke to him and didn't appoint him and went with Naismith. So they could perhaps have some egg on their face too. It's hard not to say yes, but you can't really argue with the facts that Paul's put in front of us there. That evidence certainly suggests yes, there absolutely is. Of course, this season there is, you know, the difference. There is European football. I know it shouldn't be an excuse. This is where we want to be. This is the level we should be at. We should be dealing with it better than we are. It is a consequence, however, and it is also fact, and it does make things a little bit more difficult. But we should be dealing with it better than we currently are, in my opinion. Certainly, in the games this month, Kilmarnock away and St Johnstone at home. The fact we've not at least got 4 points from that is very poor.
Yeah, no, absolutely. As I said, kind of in the early stages of this episode, and if you have stayed with us throughout the first 37 minutes, fair play. Hopefully this is helping slightly. I know it's turning up a lot of anger, but also helping to a degree as well. We spoke about, Calm, how the league remains extremely tight, and obviously we've got a game in hand on those teams. And as I said to the guys at work today, you know, if we'd played the game against Dundee and won and lost yesterday, we would still be sitting a point behind Kilmarnock, who Kilmarnock now occupy fourth after their win yesterday. A comment earlier in the show from Pedro73 was, we're concentrating too much in Europe. Let's sort the league games first. That's our bread and butter. If we were sitting third or fourth and in the semi, nothing would be being said about kind of the performances right now. European football has got to be seen as a bonus just now.
Fair, absolutely fair. And I think, in a way, it's if we do lose our next game in Europe and we're as good as out by that point,
as good as out by now anyway.
Well, that's true, but maybe that could be sort of a benefit for the league in a way. But I do agree. I mean, we've got to that stage in Europe. We've got to the stage where we are now in Europe. We want to be doing it again next season. And to do that has to be through the league or cups. Yet the league certainly is suffering as a result of it, and you know, not rotating as well using that squad, because these players must be good enough. Otherwise, why else would we have brought them in? Or there must be some sort of belief there. Yet to make one change after that game against Pauk, going into this game, you know, Sunday lunchtime kickoff. It is odd, and we need to be prioritising the league at this stage, especially if, as you say, we're as good as out.
Yeah, and as Roy Thompson says, the close but no cigar performances in Europe are causing fatigue, but maybe more importantly, killing spirit. Certainly for the fans, but I hate to think what it must be like for the players putting in that amount of effort, especially as we saw against Pauk. But can we really be blaming fatigue? Because we didn't play against Dundee. That was only our second game in 3 weeks. Yes, it was two games in 4 days. We're away to play four games in 10 days. Surely after the second game, we cannot be using fatigue as an excuse already. That gives me grave concern, more so for the semi-final.
Also, they knew that this was coming. It's not like it's just been sprung upon us. You know, we've spent money on a squad that should be able to deal with this, and there should be enough quality where we can rotate slightly more than one player at a time. The one thing that was said there by Roy that I do think is very important is the killing spirit. I do worry that's what's happening. And it certainly feels that way sort of amongst the fans, especially after that game on Thursday, going into the game against Sunday, sort of dreading it a little bit. And you do wonder if that is the case, if spirit is down after giving so much against Pauk and throwing it away, sort of similar, as I said earlier in the episode, like that game against Celtic where we held on for 87 minutes and Callum McGregor scored because Celtic always seemed to find a way. And then we saw the downward spiral that caused. I'm worried that it could be the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said, my biggest kind of concern is the fact that the lack of goals, as I said, it's now five of the first nine where we failed to score. And I think that, you know, I mentioned about the stat about kind of going behind and the fact that it's 19 games where in going behind we've failed to win. And as a result, with Sunday's defeat, that now moves Barry Robson to the worst performing permanent manager at the club with a win percentage of 24% in all competitions. Dark comments, apprehensive about this week. Hard to find any positives at the minute. Only saving grace is how crap everyone else is in the league and that nobody's pulling away. Again, going back to what I mentioned earlier, but apprehension's probably a fair word to use ahead of the games against Motherwell and Hibs.
Yeah, I am apprehensive, especially since I decided to go to Motherwell. That seems like a very bad decision now. It is a big concern because, as we sort of mentioned, well, Motherwell, first of all, they performed pretty well throughout this season and they showed a lot of guts and determination to come back into that game against Ross County and ultimately get a point, something that I wouldn't necessarily, those two words, guts and determination, wouldn't associate with this Aberdeen side at the moment.
No, absolutely. And this is what's kind of frustrating me. And, you know, I saw a comment from Paul Donaldson earlier, and I can't go back and find it because, as I said, the chat is just absolutely crazy just now. That he said, you know, he lives not far from Fir Park, and he's considering whether or not he can be even bothered going to the game on Wednesday because the players can't even be bothered putting in a decent performance. So why should us as fans? And I think, you know, as I said, it was just over 800 fans that made the trip to Rugby Park for yesterday lunchtime kickoff. And you do have to commend all those that made the trip because that was a sterling effort in, you know, not exactly a favourable kickoff, but after all we've been seeing recently, it's not exactly the type of football that you would make way out of your time to go and see.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, with things the way they are, in terms of people's financial conditions, the weather, and, you know, a lot of games going thick and fast, anyone that made that effort to go there deserves immense credit. I suppose at this point, Glenn, should we discuss the horror show that was the second call and then move swiftly on?
Yeah, well, I guess that will round up the action from Sunday. And I mean, I think the second goal really did sum up our play. And we knew one of Messrs. Kennedy or Watkins would be involved in something on Sunday. And it proved to be the latter. I did actually see a comment relating to the goal where someone suggested that, again, it was Robson's tactics of hoofing the ball clear that were maybe potentially to blame, because there was an easier pass that Gartenman could have played out to his right to Nicky Devlin, but instead tried to hoof the ball up the pitch and got himself into all kind of bother. But a goal to forget and a goal to sum up the performance, really.
Absolutely. And from someone that we've spoke quite highly of on the show since his arrival, I'd say Stefan Gartenman. I think even throughout these sort of little bit dodgy spells, I think he's certainly been one of the shining lights, and one, another one of those players where it's never fallen in love with a lone player, but it was a horrendous mistake that cost us and gifted Marley Watkins a goal. He couldn't miss that, and it was just so typical that it was him. And I think he went off immediately after as well, sort of a parting gift for the travelling Reds. And just, we knew it was going to be one of them, didn't we? We mentioned it sort of with Laurie, and it sort of had that inevitable feeling about it. But for it to come in that fashion and, you know, really ruin, spoil any very slim hopes that we had that we were actually going to come back into the game, it was just very typical of Aberdeen at the moment.
Yeah. Where do you stand then going into the game against Motherwell on Barry Robson? Do you feel these next two games are make or break for Barry? Because if we just look a little bit beyond the semi-final just now, after the semi-final...
We have to
elaborate the point. After the semi-final against Hibs, we have a trip to Greece. And I think, as Kaiser put in the comments, for anyone travelling to Greece, maybe refrain from taking your Macedonian flags with you. And when we come back from Thessaloniki, it's a trip to Celtic Park on Remembrance Weekend. And after the international break, Rangers are the visitors to Pittodrie. So some tricky games. But again, going back to the point that Stephen Anderson made that I discussed at the top of the show, those games are games that we're actually performing better in. It's the games we're going into as fans looking, probably expecting to win, that the team are not doing so well in, which adds to my apprehension, to go back to the word that Dart used in his comment, going into these two games. Is Motherwell and Hibs make or break for Barry Robson? I think after St Mirren, the draw against St Mirren, I want to say, I can't remember if I said it publicly or not on here, but I said that he wouldn't be in a job by Christmas, and I can't help but feel the next five games are crucial to whether or not he is in the dugout come Christmas or not.
I think the next two games, to be honest, if we, heaven forbid, lose to Motherwell, teams perhaps pick up points and then go out of the semi-final, then I can't see him lasting much beyond that, if I'm honest.
Does Dave Cormack have the balls to sack him, though? Because we don't want to be a club that's churning through managers season upon season.
Sack another manager he's hired. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure. I don't know if he would have the balls. I hope he would learn from his previous mistake where he gave Jim Goodwin too long. I think he did recognise that, or certainly should have. I would hope he would learn to not let it go too long this time. I think for Robson, he has to win both games, really. I mean, I think if he goes to Motherwell and gets a point, and then he won't get sacked going into the Hibs game, and then comes out with a win in that game, then fair play. Absolutely. I think that it's certainly a positive. It's a little bit better. But it is a concern this week. It really, really is, because Hibs seems to be performing a little bit better. And Motherwell away, over recent times, we've not done fantastic down there, I feel. Possibly because the games we have won, I've just not been at. So it could be that. But I am growing increasingly worried, and it is. I'm also worried about the fact he won't ditch this certain style of play, and I can't see us getting results. Because Motherwell, that's what I watched the highlights prior to this show of their point against Ross County. They weren't fantastic. They looked a bit dodgy defensively, but to be 3-1 down, to have the spirit to come back and grab a point. They've got players looking dangerous. They have a certain style of play about them. And, you know, Mika Beareth, who returned from injury, seems to be an upturn in performance from Motherwell. He returned with a goal from a penalty that he won and an assist. Connor Wilkinson amongst the goals. Striker scoring goals. We're not seeing all that much other than from Bojan Miovski.
Yeah, strikers plural. When you mentioned if Cormac was going to learn from his mistakes there, I thought you were actually going to say and hire an experienced manager.
Well,
you could argue about Jim Goodwin's experience, but we all know how that turned out. But two apprentices, and it's not worked out in the sense for them. I'm in agreement with Pedro 73. We have to win the two games or it's bye-bye to Barry, which I don't want, as Pedro says, and I agree with that sentiment as well. We don't want to see the manager being sacked, but something has to change and has to change quickly. And he rounds that off by saying, I'd love 3 points and a final by Monday. The problem is, Callum, and I know you're waiting to say something there, is the pressure is building. The problem right now is the level and style of performance. Fans are not being entertained, and when they're not being entertained and the results aren't coming, that is when the frustration continues to grow.
Yeah, it does continue to grow. And this episode has been particularly negative. I think that was probably to be expected. However, I think part of me has this sort of impending doom, inevitability sort of feeling about it, because just of the way, having learned from the way the last two sort of managers went, there did feel like, you know, it's a matter of when, not if. I would love to be proved wrong and have Ryan Robson to turn it down. I think there is things he has to change, though, for that to be the case, for him to be able to turn it around and ideally have a lovely positive week with 3 points and as Pedro said, set a final by Monday. And also, I suppose, the change in mentality and things that could give. Having a final to look forward to, knowing they're good enough to be there. It could do things to a player.
But the problem is the sense of inevitability that you mentioned there. There is maybe not yet. I think if we were to lose on Wednesday, obviously, again, you know, we're not hoping that that's the outcome. We're wanting us to go down there and come back with 3 points. But if, worst case scenario, we lose on Wednesday, then I think there is that sense of inevitability about Robson's future and the, you know, pressure and kind of talk going into the game on Saturday changes completely, because a win on Wednesday changes the talk going into Saturday. It gives fans confidence, it gives players confidence. The other thing that also, to me, draws a lot of similarities between the previous manager and the current manager is their stubbornness to change things which aren't working. And as Ross Jessamyn pointed out, both Duke and Clarkson are probably the two suffering most from our style of play at the moment. We don't look to play through either of them or any of the other ball players. Again, kind of reverting back to that hoofball tactic that we were speaking about. And I think this is why we've seen such a drop-off in Duke, especially this season. And also baffles me why we've played Leighton Clarkson in that deeper sitting midfielder role as well, when we saw the quality he had in those final few games of last season. And as Cairnwell Metal Detective says, to not utilise the talent of a player like Clarkson is criminal.
I do agree. To be honest, I think a lot of the football we've been showing is criminal. But players like those two, I suppose you could argue McGrath and Barron in many cases as well. Guys who clearly have a certain level of technical ability, who are able to pull the strings and make things happen, and also get bums off seats as well and be exciting. But we're seeing the ball flying over their head, pinging down the channels. It negates the point of them even being there. We'd be as well having, you know, no respect to Kilmarnock, but going down there sort of style of recruiting, guys who are able to apply themselves and who will be able to make that kind of thing work. That's not these guys' style of play, and we're just completely negating sort of any decent technical quality they have by leathering it down the line to nobody.
Exactly. With Barry Robson's post-match comments in mind about the fatigue and players looking leggy, and with that in mind, he will make changes going into the game on Wednesday at Fir Park. How many changes does he make? Because wholesale changes for some of these guys, we've already spoken about severe lack of minutes. They'll be getting fatigued come the hour mark. We already saw Graham Shinney fail to last an hour on Sunday, and I would expect him not to last 90 minutes on Wednesday if we need 90 minutes out of him on Saturday night.
Yeah, I would love to see us go to a 4-2-3-1, if you like, 4-3-3, however you want to look at it, where we do have wide players. Unfortunately, that probably means maybe Duke has to be one of the wingers because of how we've recruited. So if he's probably off the left, then you perhaps have Duncan off the right, and maybe playing him in his natural position for once, you might be able to see the quality he has and the reason he's at Aberdeen. And it just gives us a bit more creative freedom. It's really painful watching, you know, us try and work it out wide, but then there's only one player out wide. Nicky Devlin gets the ball, looks down the line, there's nobody there, and just has to play it down the line. It's painful. We need to play with width. It stretches them more. It gives them something else to think about. It also uses the whole pitch rather than being so damn narrow like we were on Sunday. It has to be a change of tactical style, and ideally a change in personnel a little bit as well. I mean, Esther Sautclair, does he deserve a chance? I think many would say yes.
Well, I noticed Shaden Morris is back in training as well. He's a natural winger. I mean, I know it feels like we're maybe scraping the barrel as well. Personally, on Duke, I would rather not play him as a winger. I'd rather not play him at all. I think his confidence is that low. Put him on the bench and bring him on at, you know, the 70, 80 minutes. Because let's be honest, we spoke about strikers and scoring goals for Motherwell. We've only got one striker scoring goals right now in Bojan Miovski. You're not going to be dropping him right now. He's probably going to be one of the first names on that team sheet. We saw Esther Sokler be able to play in a kind of more wide area in some of the preseason games. But you also mentioned kind of the effort and maybe fight that he put in when he played on Sunday there, obviously picking up a booking for a really poor challenge, and I think kind of summing up the frustration felt by many of us watching in that challenge. Why not go and give him a run out for the start? Not only does it build up his minutes, but you also then allow us to change to two up top if needed. It gives Bojan a strike partner. It gives us two options for Barry's hoofball if needed, but it also gives us two physical strikers because, you know, going back to my point about Duke's inability to stay on his feet just now, he's only winding himself up every time he falls down and doesn't win a free kick, which impacts him negatively. If we have a player staying on their feet, challenging the defenders, and maybe winning a free kick for us, then that works in a positive manner. I just can't help but feel if Duke was to start, goes down, doesn't get a free kick, he'll think, oh, this is not my day again. And immediately the negativity comes in.
Yeah, that's fair. It is a very tough one because I think we are limited in what we could play now because of the way the recruitment's gone. Without bringing in Vicente Pissau from the cold, I think we're really struggling to play a team with wingers, which is madness. And that's why I sort of think shoehorning Duke in on the left-hand side, maybe then, you know, he's not up against a big physical centre-back. He is able to get the ball down and run at a full-back. And a lot of times last season, we did see his magic sort of coming off that left-hand side when he drifted out there. So it is a tough one. I hope Barry manages to find the answers, and I hope he manages to turn it around, because right now, simply put, it's not good enough and we need to see something change.
What do you change in the midfield, if anything? As I mentioned, Graham Shinney didn't play the full 90 on Sunday. Can he play 90 again in midweek, looking ahead a little bit to Saturday as well? Is he a player that drops out for Leighton Clarkson, you know, springing to mind? Because who else do you bring in there? If you're dropping Duke, obviously that was a swap for Dante Polvara, but I think against Motherwell, you mentioned kind of their dodgy defence. That's what I would like to see us have a bit more kind of attacking influence.
I'm going to be under the assumption that Graeme Shinnie will start this game. I'd like to see Barron alongside him and then McGrath probably closer to the strikers. Failing that, then I would like to see Clarkson in place of Barron. I think if we were to change the shape and immediately Leighton Clarkson had players ahead of him when he's playing that deeper role, then we could see a lot of change because he would have options rather than just nobody ahead of him other than two strikers who are completely isolated and we've got to hit the ball up to them.
And what about defensively? There's not been a lot kind of wrong with the back line for us, in recent weeks domestically. An uncharacteristic mistake from Stefan Gartman, as you said, led to the second goal. But do you expect any changes to be made to our back line? Because the only ever one that seems to be considered is on the left side, and whether or not Johnny Hayes or Jack McKenzie start.
Well, hopefully it's not Johnny Hayes. I don't expect much change in the defence. I would like to see us go to a bloody flat four. And in my ideal world, that would contain Rara, Rasputin, Jack McKenzie, number three, Tricky Dicky, Richard Jensen, Stefan Gartenman, and then Nicky Devlin on the right-hand side, because we're not going to see our daddy, are we?
No, look, he's been playing well, but unfortunately you're then saying that Ruby misses out.
I think so. I think in terms of if we're going to a four, I would prefer the two more experienced in Gartenman and Jensen. I think Rubisic has tended to struggle when he's not been, basically when he's not been in the middle of a three. He has looked a lot better. And I think if we're going with a four, then it's more important that both centre-backs are then able to play with the ball. Ironically, saying that about Gartenman after the weekend. But hopefully he's got that mistake out of his system.
Hopefully. Obviously, we spoke about the threats that the Motherwell pose. You mentioned Mika Bireth back from injury at the weekend and his pace and power to win the penalty. And he also grabbed himself a goal as well. He looks like he could prove to be a handful for that back line as well in a strike force that kind of hasn't been firing on all cylinders for large parts of the season, despite more than one striker having goals in them. I think Lennon Miller is back from suspension for this game as well. Obviously, the highly rated son of former Don striker Lee Miller. Interesting to see how he gets on against our midfield. And, the Motherwell midfields have kind of been an area that's impressed me. They do have some players that can move the ball well. You've got Blair Spittle in there. You've got Callum Slattery in there as well. I always feel games at Fir Park feel like a cup final for Motherwell, especially the Motherwell boys, the way they treat us coming to town. So I'm sure that'll help them raise their game. But as much as, maybe they do have a bit of pace in attack and how much that affects us being leggy, the way they defended not only at the weekend against Ross County, but the way they have defended, especially at home this season, does offer me encouragement for ourselves going forward. However, we need better service and better use of the ball, not just hoofing it up to their centre backs.
Absolutely, and certainly, I think they would deal better. They would deal well if we are to do our usual and wait forever to get the ball across so they can be set up nicely. But when Ross County were playing football, not letting them get set up and getting the ball across, they did look to struggle with crosses, although none of the goals really came from that in the highlights. It certainly looked that way to me, that they did struggle to deal with the cross ball. And then the goals they conceded, they were pretty poor defensively. So if we can be direct, not in the passing style, but in terms of attacking play, then we could unsettle them, I think. And there will be chances there. Just hope that whichever strikers are on the park can take them.
I agree. And it's just going to be an interesting kind of approach on Wednesday because, a lot has been kind of clung on to Barry's comments, a lot of us waiting to hear what excuse comes out. And he's come out and said that, you know, the team is fatigued and changes need to be made. And I don't think a lot of us are going to accept the one or two changes. Although the comments under the team line are always a joy to read pretty much, and waiting to see kind of what comes from the team. But look, I know you'll be going down on Wednesday night, and those that are going on Wednesday night, as we said, despite maybe the negative kind of tone or tendencies of this podcast today, anybody in attendance on Wednesday, as soon as that whistle goes to start the game, will be fully behind whoever's on the pitch for the team.
They will. Let's just hope that they give us something to sing about. And not even in terms of, you know, an early start, an early goal, just an indication that there's going to be some slightly more positive play and slightly more of a chance of a positive result, I think would be enough.
And a slightly chance of a positive podcast going into a huge semi-final on Saturday evening. Well, enjoy, I really feels the wrong word to use, after Sunday, your trip down on Wednesday night, Callum, and to the rest of you that are going, enjoy yourselves. I really hope that the effort those travelling put in is fully rewarded by the team. And we'll be back, looking back on the events from Wednesday night's game on the podcast. Maybe on Thursday night, Callum, if we're both free.
We'll need to discuss that, Glenn.
Yeah, because I know you're starting a new job, so we need to look at shifts for that. But if you have enjoyed the therapy session tonight, if listening to us rant has been cathartic for you in any way, shape or form, do remember to hit the like button on the video, follow us wherever you've been listening in on catch up, and subscribe as well if you're watching on YouTube. Remember, it's free to do all those things and helps us greatly. So thank you very much for tuning in to another live episode. We'll catch you next time on Red Tinted Glasses.
Sports Social Podcast Network.